This episode may end up being one of my favorites. It's not a crime, it's not a mystery, and it's not an adventure. It's pumpkins. Welcome to the NC Everything Podcast. I'm your host, Curtis, and this is the bi-weekly show where I talk about everything that has anything to do with North Carolina. Now, I mentioned that this may end up being my favorite episode. It's not because I like the fall, which I do, and it's not because I like pumpkin spice, which I surely do not. It's because orange is my favorite color, specifically burnt orange, but I like all oranges. As a matter of fact, I have several orange polos, several orange hats. Since I'm the welding supervisor, I get to order my own supplies, and a lot of my supplies at work are orange. I think it's kind of getting on people's nerves. But I needed to do a Halloween episode, and you know, this time of year really is one of my favorite times of the year. The weather starts getting cooler, and leaves are turning orange. Orange pumpkins are coming out. For some reason, orange and black has been adopted as the Halloween color, so it suits me just fine. But before I get into the episode, I just want to say thank you all for joining me again. And if you're new to the NC Everything Podcast, check out the links below. I'm going to go into more detail about them at the end of the show, but the links below, you can get more NC Everything. And as always, I've got behind schedule, and it's Friday. This show is going out in the morning, so when you see it, I will have recorded it the previous afternoon. And so I'm not going to do a whole lot of editing. I'm going to leave a lot of stuff in that probably normally would get edited out. I will say my driveway that you see behind me, I share it with some people who decide that it's their playground. I am going to try to edit out or stop videoing when 200 cars decide to ride in and out for no reason. And my neighbor likes to shoot his gun, again, for no apparent reason. I'm not going to edit that out because I don't know when it's coming. So you may end up hearing some gunshots. I don't know. Also, the sun is in my face. You know, not ideal lighting. I can barely see my laptop screen, but I'm going to make the best of it, and hopefully I can give you a good episode. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into the content. Now, I don't remember how I worded my, or how I ordered my notes, but I'm going to go over pumpkins. I'm going to go over pumpkin patches. I'm going to go over the invention of jack-o'-lanterns, and then I'll talk about the history. Pretty briefly, I'll talk about the history of Halloween. So, here we go. Pumpkins are a fruit from the genus Cucurbita, and they're kin to the same family as gourds, squash, and zucchini. And, summer squash, melons, and even cucumbers, which I talked about in my pickle episode. Now, the pumpkin as we know it has been around for a really, really long time. There's evidence of pumpkins in Mexico and Central America between 7,000 and 9,000 years ago. Now, a lot of these early pumpkins weren't these big orange balls that we see today or anything like that. A lot of them were crooked and curvy, yellow, white, all different colors. The name pumpkin comes from the Greek word pepon, which means large melon. And the French, they called it pom-pom, pon-pon, not pom-pom. P-O-M-P-O-N. That's a lot of P's. Pompon. Then the English, they changed it to pumpkin. And then the Americans, who are known for making things their own, they changed pumpkin into pumpkin. And since America's finally come up, we got to mention the Native Americans. Pumpkins were really a big deal to the Native Americans. They would roast the pumpkin meat. I guess they call it pumpkin meat. I feel like that's what they call it. They would roast the pumpkin meat and use it in all sorts of different meals. They'd also take the pumpkin and carve it into strips, and they'd dry the strips out, and then they'd use the dried strips for weaving baskets and mats and stuff like that. Now, as far as the American colonists go, they're credited with giving us pumpkin pie, although it really wouldn't surprise me if they stole pumpkin pie from the Native Americans as well. But pumpkin pie back then, it didn't look like pumpkin pie today. So what they would do, they would take a pumpkin and they'd cut the top off. There's a really angry bird. That's a woodpecker right next to me. Huh. I think that's the closest I've ever been to a woodpecker. And I'm sure he's going to be very vocal. All right. Well, he flew off. Anyway, what they do, kind of like when you make a jack-o'-lantern, they'd cut the top of it off. And then they get out all the seeds and the guts, and then they fill it up with milk and honey. Oh, milk and honey and spices. And I doubt they called them pumpkin spices back then. But anyway, they would take this pumpkin that's filled with all this pumpkin spice, and they would bake it in hot ashes. Bam, they had pumpkin pie. And I don't think it, the way it described in my research, I don't think it actually looked like a pie back then. And most likely it was probably called something else. And now that I've given you a little bit of backstory on pumpkins, we'll talk about pumpkin patches. And for this, I need to go back to the Native Americans. You see, nowadays, pumpkin patches are a really big thing. And to be honest with you, I think people go pumpkin crazy this time of year. But there are pumpkin patches everywhere. I'm within 30 miles of at least 3 pumpkin patches. And there may even be some argument about where pumpkin patches originated. But it certainly was the Native Americans who gave us pumpkin patches. And this also brings us back to North Carolina. There's a 1590 engraving of the Sacoton Indian village that was on present-day Roanoke Island. This engraving was done by John White. He was the governor of the Roanoke colony, but he was also an artist. And you can get online and see a lot of his engravings and some of his paintings. So John White, he engraves this festival that's happening in this Native American village. And I'll post a picture or link to the picture of this engraving in the links below. But this engraving is considered the first depiction of a pumpkin patch or fall festival in history. And that was right here in North Carolina. Now, like I said, I'll post a link to it, but I can describe it. In the engraving, there's what looks to be, or what's obviously like a major trail or some sort of path. And the Native Americans, they're kind of out in the path, and you can see they're celebrating. And in the color version of it, I'm assuming it was probably colored when he made it. But in the color version, you can see a definitive pumpkin patch in the engraving. There's a corn patch. Like I said, these people are celebrating. It looks like a big party going on. And I first saw this engraving way back in elementary school when I was first learning about the colonies. But it truly wasn't until I'd done the research for this episode that I realized it very well could be the origin of the pumpkin patch. And like I said, pumpkin patches are everywhere now. They're actually all over the world, and you can thank old Christopher Columbus for that. I had mentioned in my pickle episode that Christopher Columbus bought pickled cucumbers over here when he came. Well, when he went back home, he took a bunch of pumpkins home with him, because remember, they're native to Central America, Mexico, that area. They didn't have pumpkins in Europe. So he brings cucumbers over, pickles, and he takes pumpkins back home with him. And kind of like the pickles over here, pumpkins were an instant sensation over there. And that brings us to jack-o'-lanterns. We can argue this over email, but my research tells me that jack-o'-lanterns were born in Ireland. You see, there was this old legend about a man named Stingy Jack. The legend goes, Stingy Jack invited the devil to come have a drink with him. Well, Stingy Jack didn't get the name Stingy Jack because he was from good raising and known for his generosity. He was crooked as hell, and he didn't want to pay for the drinks when him and the devil, you know, went into the establishment, I guess you could say. So he cooked up a plan. He convinces the devil to turn himself into a coin, and they could pay for the drinks and trick the barkeep. The devil liked the idea and turned himself into a coin. Well, as soon as he did, Stingy Jack, he only saw free money. So he decides to keep his brand new coin, and he puts it in his pocket, the devil, that is. And inside of his pocket was a silver cross. So the devil, being next to the silver cross, he couldn't turn himself back into a devil form. He was stuck in the form of this coin. Well, eventually, Stingy Jack decides he'll let the devil go with some conditions. The devil was not to bother Jack for 1 year. And if Jack died within that year, the devil wouldn't claim his soul. Well, the devil agreed. And a year later, Jack fools the devil again, when he convinces him to climb up a tree to pick some fruit. So the devil climbs up this tree to get this fruit, and then Jack runs over to the tree, and he carves a cross into the trunk of the tree, and the devil, I guess the devil couldn't climb past the cross, so the devil is essentially stuck in this tree. Well, the devil's demanding that Jack let him down, so Jack decides to make another deal. He'd let the devil down if the devil promised not to bother him for 10 more years. Well, it wasn't long after that. Well, first, the devil agreed, and Jack, I guess, I'm assuming he carved over the cross. Anyway, devil agreed not to bother him 10 more years. Cross is gone. Devil comes down from the tree. And it wasn't long after that that Jack died. Well, as the legend goes, once Stingy Jack died, he went up to heaven, and God wouldn't let him into heaven. They told him at the pearly gates that you're crooked, you're stingy, you know, you're not welcome here in heaven. So, of course, Jack heads to hell. Unfortunately for Jack, he had already made that deal with the devil that if he had died, the devil wouldn't claim his soul. So, for Jack, there was no heaven and there was no hell. So, the devil sends Jack on his way, but before he goes, he gives him a burning piece of coal to light his way in the dark. Because I guess, even if you're dead, you can't hold a piece of burning coal. Well, Jack, he gets himself a turnip, and he carves a turnip up, and carves it or hollows it out, punches a bunch of holes in it, and drops the burning coal in there so he can kind of use it as a lantern. And then for eternity, including today, or I guess tonight, Jack's been roaming the earth ever since with his glowing turnip. Well, this, I guess, he mostly stayed in Ireland. If you follow the legend, he roams the world, but the world is Ireland at that time. So the Irish, they start calling him Jack of the Lantern. And then this changes to Jack-o'-lantern. And so it went. The Irish and the Scottish, they started hollowing out turnips and putting candles in them, just like old Jack. And this evolved into carving spooky faces on the turnips. Then at night, they would put these creepy-ass carved-up turnip things on their porches or in their windows or in their yards. And the reason they did this was they wanted to scare off Stingy Jack in case he came a-calling. And it really doesn't make a lot of sense. Why would he be scared of a fiery turnip when legend says that he was already carrying a fiery turnip with him? Anyway, the tradition made its way to England, but they didn't like turnips, I guess, because they started using beets. Well, you fast forward a little bit, and the European colonists in the United States, they were keeping up with this tradition, but they found a new vegetable, a new base vegetable for their jack-o'-lanterns, and this was the pumpkin. And that evolved into the jack-o'-lanterns you see today. And, you know, you can buy them at Walmart right after the 4th of July, you know. And again, I say it again, I love orange. You know, I make jokes about pumpkin spice and jack-o'-lanterns, but I do like going around seeing all the orange around. But that brings us to the last part of this show, Halloween. And I read a lot of articles on the origins of Halloween and theories and all sorts of stuff. The main reason there's so many different versions and it's kind of hard to track down is because when Halloween was born, there wasn't really anybody writing this stuff down. A lot of it was passed by word of mouth. So what I'm going to do is give you the version that I kept coming across the most. Most everybody accepts the theory that Halloween started around 5 BC with the Celtic pagan celebration called Samhain. Now, it's spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-N, but it says it's pronounced Samhain. S-O-W-E-N. And Samhain just means the end of summer. So the Celts, they believed that the changing of the seasons were magical, especially the change from winter to spring and from summer to fall. Belief was that one day a year, spirits came back from the dead and walked around with the living. This night, Samhain, was October 31st. Well, people started taking this tradition and running with it. The Celts felt like they were good spirits and there were bad spirits. And so they would put out food and animal sacrifices on their porches for the good spirits, and they would wear masks, hoping to scare off the bad spirits. And one source I read said that they would wear the mask just in case the good spirits came to take their offerings and then they wanted to stick around. So they were offering the good spirits treats, but they wore masks just to kind of keep them away, you know. You know, I kind of feel like if they put out some of those creepy-ass burning turnips that Jack had, that would probably keep everybody away. And, you know, I didn't mention that those things were creepy-looking. I thought about for this episode carving my own, and I may yet post a picture of it, but I didn't get it done in time. But I will try to post a picture of these creepy turnip things, or you can Google it. They're crazy looking. The jack-o'-lanterns look kind of fun and goofy. These turnips look like shrunken heads. They're horrifying. But anyway, back to the story. It wasn't just spirits on this magical night. You know, like October 31st. It wasn't just spirits that came out. You had fairies and goblins and even demons. And somewhere along the way, this celebration of the dead coming back, the magical night, turned into a harvest celebration. And then, like always, the church got involved. the Roman Catholic Church, they didn't care much for pagans, and they sure didn't care much for pagan traditions, and so they decided to try to kill this tradition. They created All Saints Day that would be celebrated on November 1st. All Saints Day was supposed to be a celebration of all the saints who didn't have their own special day to be remembered. As a bonus, the church was hoping that all the people would be so focused on All Saints Day that they would kind of stop celebrating this pagan holiday, Samhain. Well, it didn't work. Because All Saints Day was November 1st, people partied that much harder on October 31st. And just like with jack-o'-lanterns, immigrants to the U.S., they brought this tradition with them. And this was in the mid-19th century. And as far as the name Halloween, that came from the name All Hallows Evening. All Hallows Evening. So Hallow is an old English word for holy person. Eve is short for evening. So All Hallows Eve just means the evening before Holy Person Day in reference to All Saints Day. Now, when you say All Hallows Eve with the right accent, it kind of sounds like All Hallows Even. Further dialect removal, I can't see my screen. Further dialect removed the letter V, and so you get All Hallows Een, which, as you can guess, turns into Halloween. And that covers Halloween and the origin of the holiday. And I'm sure I could do probably a two-part episode just on the origins of Halloween and, like I said, all the conflicts and probably bloodshed that came from this pagan versus Christian thing. But maybe I'll save that for next year. As far as the Halloween that we know today, the tradition kept spreading and evolving, and now Halloween is part spiritual, part harvest festival, part spooky night, and part go out and have fun. And that's the end of this pumpkin spice. I didn't mention pumpkin spice. I meant to look up the origins of pumpkin spice, and I completely forgot. I know basically what it is. I'm sure it was probably invented by Starbucks. Well, no, not pumpkin spice. Pumpkin spice I do know is pumpkin pie spice, and then they decided to make drinks out of Starbucks, decided to make drinks out of it. But Starbucks is not a North Carolina product, or it wasn't born in North Carolina, so I'm not covering that too much. And like I said, I don't really care a whole lot for pumpkin spice. But this is the end of my episode on pumpkins and orange things. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you didn't hate the terrible lighting. If you're watching on YouTube, it's terrible lighting. If you're listening on podcast players, it doesn't matter. And speaking of that, if you are listening on podcast players and you want to put a face with the voice, I have a YouTube channel, the NC Everything Podcast YouTube channel. There'll be a link for that below. There's also a Facebook group where you can get even more NC Everything content. And if you want to contact me and suggest an episode, you can do that at thenceverythingpodcast@gmail.com. But like I said, check the links below. I'm going to hopefully link to some of those pictures I was talking about. And check out the links. And like I said at the beginning of the show, this is a bi-weekly show. If you get bored, I also do a monthly show with my wife called Tasting NC, where we taste everything that has anything to do with North Carolina. And I actually suggested to her, I was talking about that original pumpkin pie where they slice the top off and put honey and stuff in it. That might be kind of fun to do on Tasting NC. But you can find that under the NC Everything Podcast YouTube channel page. Anyway, I think that's all I have. I'm starting to rattle on. And my son is aggravating me to go see the Five Nights at Freddy movie with him. I don't entirely know what Five Nights at Freddy is, but I'm going to probably find out here in a couple hours. Anyway, you guys be good on Tuesday. Be safe. Make good decisions. Eat lots of candy. Don't eat lots of candy. Just eat lots of Reese's. Not only are they in orange packaging, but Reese's is the best candy. Throw that candy corn in the trash. Happy Halloween, and I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.